I want to invite you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you've got, to Luke chapter 18. If you don't have any of that, just to look on the screen and we've got the scriptures there for you. Luke chapter 18. This is what the Bible says in verses 1 through 5. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." What's he saying? Just a simple paraphrase would be, keep praying. Don't give up. "Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." I want to talk to you about a concept that I never thought about in 35 years of preaching. In 35 years, I had never thought about this concept, but I want to talk to you about, is your bowl full or empty? Is your bowl full or empty? There's a scripture in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and this is what it says. It says, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts there," this is a scene in heaven, "the four beasts are angelic beings. They're angels that are worshiping around the throne. And it says, and the 24 elders, the 24 elders, the 24 elders represents the complete church. You know, there were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles. The 24 represents basically the complete church. So here we get the angelic beings and the complete church fell down before the Lamb, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, having every one of them harps and golden vials, or they had golden bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Here's what's amazing, folks. In heaven, there are people that are holding golden bowls. And what these golden bowls represents are the prayers that you and I pray. Golden bowls that simply are the prayers of the saints. And the Bible says that when we pray, it creates an aroma. As we pour prayers into our bowl, it creates an aroma. Now, notice what Revelation 8 and 5 says, 8 and 4 says. It says, "And when the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God." So apparently, we have a bowl. And when we pour prayers in, it creates an aroma that comes up before God, a sweet-smelling savor that comes up before God. And because of that, according to verse 5, it says, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it onto the earth." We pray prayers. They're in the bowl. It creates an aroma that comes up before God. And when it creates an aroma that comes up before God, the Bible says he cast it to the earth. That means that God responds to that situation on earth. But you got to understand, folks, we've got a bowl. You've got a bowl. But nothing happens with your bowl. Nothing happens with my bowl unless we put something in the bowl. 78% of Americans pray once a week. 8 out of 10 of Americans pray once a week. That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, they're not putting anything in the bowl. I heard about two men that were arguing about who was the most spiritual. And one said, I'm more spiritual than you. And he said, well, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. He said, I'll bet you $10 I know the Lord's Prayer. He said, well, let's hear it. And the guy said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul will keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul will take. The guy pulled out his $10 and said, I wouldn't have thought you would have known it. Now the question is this. Is our bowl full? Or is our bowl empty? What matters is what we put in the bowl. Now I want to make four quick observations. Observation number one is God wants to hear and answer your prayer. God wants to hear and answer your prayer. Now in Luke chapter 18 verse 2, it tells us that this judge, he didn't regard God. He didn't regard man. He was not caring. He was not loving. But I want to say with great affirmation, the God that we serve, the Father that we serve, He is a good, good Father. And He is loving. And He is caring. And He is compassionate. And folks, He's not trying to make it hard for you to get a prayer answered. I want to say to you, God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to respond. Psalms 116 says this. It says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. Don't you love Him today because when we pray, He hears our voice? I love Him because He hears my voice. I love Him because He heard my voice and my supplications. But notice what verse 2 says. Because He inclined His ear unto me. You know what that means, folks? Incline means He leaned in. It means when you pray, He says, oh, that's Robin, and He leans in. Or, oh, that's Tom, and He leans in. Or He says, oh, that's Cameron. I hadn't heard from him in forever. And he leans in, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know something. I want you to know something. God wants to hear and answer your prayer. Last week, after the service was over, I prayed that young ladies in the church could have, and their husbands could have babies. And I'm praying for them. I've got them in my wallet. We went in the staff meeting, and I called those names out, and we're praying for them. After the service was over, one young man said to me, he said, Pastor Benny, we're already with child, but I just feel like you need to pray that everything's going to be okay, that our baby's going to be okay. I said, I'll be glad to. I was walking to the pulpit this morning. He stopped me. He said, God must have heard your prayer. I said, yeah, that's great. He said, because we went to the doctor this week and we're not going to have one, but we're going to have two. Amen. This is what I know, ladies and gentlemen. God wants to hear and answer your prayer. He really does. See, Jeremiah 33 and 3 says this. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You don't think about that verse. There's a command that comes with a promise. Call unto me. Folks, it wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. But it's a command that comes with a promise. But not only is it a command that comes with a promise, it's a confidence that comes with a promise. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's a confidence. But folks, not only is it a command that comes with a promise, it's a confidence that comes with a promise, but it's a conquest that comes with a promise. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what that tells me, folks? There's not a problem too big for God to solve. And there's not a person too lost for God to save them. And there's not a pain too great for God to heal it. And there's not a past too bad that God can't change it. You know, if you ask me, said, Pastor Benny, over the last year, what has God taught you more than anything else? And I would say this to you today. If God has taught me anything over the last year, it's to be led of His Spirit. More than anything. Folks, more than anything, I wouldn't offend you, but you're not smart enough to live your own life. You'll mess it up. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. You don't need to be out making decisions. You don't need to just be arbitrarily making decisions. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you. There's a pastor. His name's Robert Morris. He's in Texas. And Robert Morris said that he spoke. And he said after he spoke, God told him this. Now let me tell you something, folks. God will never tell you anything that violates His word. He'll never do it. It's kind of like, I've had married people say to me, I feel like God's bringing somebody into my life. No. No, the person He's bringing into your life is the person you're married to. No, he's not bringing anybody new into Brother Benny's life. Amen, Barbara. Because see, His word and the Holy Spirit will never violate each other. But Robert Morris said, God said to him, he said, I spoke and I saw a woman, and God said for me to tell that woman, ma'am, you need to train young women how to pray for their husbands that are lost. And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you that. He said, I don't know why I'm telling you that. But I'm just telling you that's what God's told me to do. And he said, I went back and I preached again. And the pastor said, that woman that you spoke to, do you know the story, Robert? He said, I don't know her story. I've never met her. I just did what God told me to do. He said, well, she prayed 42 years for her husband. 42 years for her husband to get saved, and he died without accepting Christ. And said a month after he had died, she got a phone call. And the man gave his name and said to her, I met your husband a month ago when we exchanged cards. And he said, ma'am, let me tell you the story. It's strange. He said, I'm a businessman. I dress in a suit and tie every day. But he said, God told me, on this day, do not put on the suit and tie, but put on a pair of blue jeans and a sweatshirt and go out on the interstate and hitchhike. Now, folks, sometimes God tells you to do things that don't make sense. He said, God told me to do that. He said, I went out and I hitchhiked. He said, a man picked me up. He said, that man picked me up. I led that man to faith in Christ. He said, that man was your husband. After I got out of the car, he had an accident. It took him out. But I just want you to know, ma'am, he's in heaven. He accepted Jesus Christ from me. Let me tell you something. Here's what I want you to understand today. God wants to hear and answer your prayer. We've just got to put something in the bowl. Let me tell you something else. God is working even when it doesn't seem like it. Now think about this. Every day, this lady went down to the courthouse. This old judge, he had a scorned, scrolled look on his face. It seemed like nothing was happening. But ladies and gentlemen, something was happening. And I want you to know something. You can't always see it. But when you're pouring prayers into your bowl, something's happening. Oh, you can't see it. But as long as you're pouring prayers into your bowl, I want you to know something's happening. Even when you don't see it happen. There's an organization. It's called the Lighthouse of Prayer Movement. The Lighthouse of Prayer Movement said they got a phone book. And they pulled 80 names out of the phone book and they wrote them down. And the Lighthouse of Prayer Movement pulled 80 other names out of the phone book and they wrote them down. One group of 80 names this organization prayed for continually. They prayed for those people continually. And after 6 weeks, they called the group that they hadn't prayed for and asked them to come to a church service, just like the group they had prayed for 6 weeks. The group they hadn't prayed for, after 6 weeks, they called and invited them to come to a church service. No one came. The group they had prayed for, the 80 they had prayed for, nonstop for 6 weeks, 62 of them showed up for the service. Here's what I want you to understand, folks. God is working even when it doesn't seem like it. There's a third thing I want you to see. God has given you and God has given me the responsibility to intercede for others. Now, when I read this, folks, it so blessed me. It so blessed me. The Bible tells us this in Timothy. Look what it says. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications is urgent prayer request. It's when we're praying about something urgently. Prayers, intercessions be made for all men. Here's what's interesting. Intercession is when you pray and intercede for somebody else. Now, here's what I want you to understand. What a privilege to get to intercede. Because I want you to think about this. Think about the company you're in. Do you realize, according to Hebrews 7:25, Jesus intercedes for us? According to Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Do you realize, folks, according to Romans 8:26-27, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us. But here's what's so amazing. Just as Jesus intercedes, just as the Holy Spirit intercedes, we have the responsibility of interceding for others. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't know how to do it. Well, let me explain how you do it. You take one hand to God and you say, My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're such a wonderful, compassionate God. And then you take the other hand and perhaps you've got a child that's away from God. Perhaps his name is Billy. And you say, God, protect Billy. God, take away the evil influences in Billy's life. God, help Billy to find the right direction. God, do whatever it takes to bring Billy to you. Folks, what a wonderful privilege we have to intercede for our family members and friends. And here's what I want you to see, moms and dads. You get this if you don't get anything else. There's nobody going to pray for your family. There's nobody going to pray for your children. There's nobody going to love those dear loved ones that you have like you do. And that's why you have a responsibility to intercede for them. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the only hope is your intercession. You say, Pastor, can you prove it? Sure I can. Abraham in Genesis 18 and 22. He interceded before God for his nephew Lot and his family. He come on the behalf of Lot and his family. And you know the story. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Genesis 19 and 29, the Bible says God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham because he interceded for his nephew Lot and his family. There's a fourth thing I want you to understand today. Persistence is the key to answered prayer. Persistence is the key to answered prayer. This judge said, I don't regard God, I don't regard man, but this woman has aggravated me to death. Every time I open my courtroom door, she's there. I think I've gotten rid of her for the day, but she shows up the next day. I'm going to give her what she wants because she keeps knocking. I'm going to give her what she wants because she wearies me with her continual coming. Folks, persistence is what got the snail on the ark. Amen? Persistence is really what matters. Just keep on. Keep it on. It's really what makes the difference. Little boy said to his daddy, Daddy, I want a brother. He said, well, son, you better pray. He prayed a month. He prayed 2 months. He prayed 3 months. And he stopped. 6 months later, his dad said, let's go down to the hospital. And they go down to the hospital, and his dad pulls back the curtain, and there's a baby boy. And he pulls it back again, and there's another baby boy. And he pulls it back again, and there's another baby boy. And he said, son, aren't you glad I prayed? He said, yes. And aren't you glad I stopped at 3 months? Elijah prayed 7 times for it to rain. Daniel prayed. God said, Daniel, while you were praying and fasting, just like those people are at Rock Springs, while you're praying and fasting, the first time you prayed, I heard you, Daniel. But I tried to give you the answer. But there was a warfare in the heaven. But I was able to get it to you in 21 days because you kept on praying. You kept on praying. I got up one morning to rush into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems tumbled about me. Heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? He replied, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered, God, why don't you help me? He replied, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. But God gently and lovingly chided, oh, my child, you didn't knock. I got up this morning. I paused before entering this day. Folks, I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. I could tell you the story about George Mueller getting saved. I could tell you the story about Mueller getting saved. And after Mueller got saved, George, you wasn't much to look at. George got saved. This great Christian that started orphanages, Never asked anybody for a penny, but just prayed for the money to come in for those children. George Mueller, I could tell you the story about he wanted his five friends to get saved, and he started praying for them. And within months, one of them got saved. Within 10 years, two of them got saved. After 25 years, the fourth one got saved. And 52 years later, at George Mueller's funeral, his fifth friend gave his life to Christ. See, I could tell you the story about George Mueller, but I've got one closer to home than that. I could tell you the story about being a kid and getting married. I've often said I was so young when I got married, I didn't know whether to go on a honeymoon or summer camp. I remember as a kid getting married, and I got a mother-in-law. You get a mother-in-law when you get married. I've always believed that's why Peter denied the Lord. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. But I got a great mother-in-law. A great godly lady. Couldn't read, couldn't write. Couldn't read or write. But what a wonderful Christian. Couldn't read or write, but what a wonderful cook. Her chicken would make the colonel crawl on the table. Go to church. She wasn't interested in the latest gossip. She wasn't interested in all that. Many times prayer requests are just gossip sessions. That wasn't her. But she'd come to church. She'd lift her hand and she'd say, I want you to pray for my husband. He's lost. My husband's lost. I've never been in a service for that woman what she didn't raise her hand and say, I want y'all pray for my husband. He's lost on his way to hell. And I've got boys that are lost, and I've told the Lord, if it even means taking my life for my boys to come to Christ, that's okay. I just want my boys to come to Christ. I'd go out there and stay all night after we got married. And I'd hear her in there, God, don't let Jim go to hell. She'd cry out to God. She'd cry out to God. That didn't go on for weeks or months, folks. It didn't go on for years. It went on for decades. She just kept praying. One day I came in from work and Barbara was crying. I said, Barbara, what are you crying about? Is it bad? She said, no, it's not bad. She said, Daddy gave his life to the Lord last night. After he gave his life to the Lord, her mother's name was Renice, and he looked over. He called her Ren. He said, Ren, you prayed this on me. Jim, he didn't understand, but I understand. I understand. I do. See, she was praying. She was praying. She's filling her bowl up. She filled that bowl up, and there's a God in heaven that said, If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout. As a God in heaven said, I got to do something down on earth. I just got to do something down there. That's just a sweet smelling aroma. This is she's just filled her bowl up. She just filled her bowl up, and I've just got to do something down there. I've got to do something in that old boy's heart. I've got to do something. But here's a question, folks. I wonder if my bowl looks like that. Or I wonder if my bowl is just so empty. That's a question. Is our bowl full? Or is our bowl empty? That's a question for all of us to ask.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.